Each week, we're checking in with our Morning Edition host, Sarah McCammon, who I'm filling in for while she's on assignment covering business news for Marketplace. She joins me here in our Des Moines studio. Sarah, hi.
Hi, Clay.
So lots of news in the agribusiness world recently that many farmers here in Iowa are watching, including the Farm Bill. Now, the House finally passed something last week, and it strips the nutrition portion out of it. That's food stamps, basically, and other programs. Now, this is a big part of the Farm Bill. So what are various stakeholders saying about this?
Well, if you talk to people on all sides, nutrition program side and the ag policy side, they don't like it very much in general. They say that it would erode the coalition of urban and rural legislators that's been needed historically to pass a farm bill. Mary Kay Thatcher is a national farm bill expert with the Farm Bureau.
When you look at Democrats that are from Detroit or L.A., whatever, they don't look at any money going towards farm programs is something that benefits their constituency.
So on the other side of that coalition is the anti-hunger groups, and they're also worried for a related reason. They believe that without the farm coalition on their side, they will have a weakened nutrition title. That's the one that funds programs like the SNAP or food stamp program, and that they'll see even bigger cuts than the $20 billion that were already cut out of an earlier version of the House bill.
This issue seems to come up every year we talk about a farm bill, urban versus rural. And now they have separated it, but we're hearing that a lot of people didn't like it. Who thought this was a good idea?
Well, a conservative faction of the GOP seemed to feel like they would have more leverage to make changes. This is in the House, to make changes to both aspects of the bill, especially further cuts to the nutrition programs. A lot of conservatives like the Heritage Foundation say they're separate issues and should be tackled separately. And they accuse the food stamp program of getting bloated and containing a lot of fraud. Even Congressman Steve King of Iowa, who's on the House Ag Committee and had expressed a lot of reservations about splitting up the farm bill, he does support changes to the nutrition programs, and he believes there are ways to cut down on fraud. Of course, advocates for those programs say fraud is very minimal, and changing the programs, cutting them, would hurt hungry families.
So now that urban and rural coalition is fractured, does this bill even stand a chance?
It's really hard to see. It depends on what happens with that nutrition title, but it's hard to see any big cuts getting through the Senate, and President Obama has said he would veto bigger cuts to nutrition programs.
Now, in other agribusiness news, you've been reporting on a deadly virus in pigs, which is shaking up the pork industry, which is quite big here in Iowa. What can you update us on that?
Yes, we're the biggest pork-producing state in the nation. It's a nasty virus, porcine epidemic, diarrhea virus, PED, and it's pretty much what it sounds like, really bad stomach virus, makes older pigs very sick. For young piglets, the newborns, it can be up to 100% fatal, obviously devastating for individual producers. About 500,000 pigs are dead, according to some estimates already. Since it was first confirmed in April, it's now spread to more than a dozen states. And actually, the Iowa State University's vet lab was the first to confirm a case.
And you visited one of these pig operations. What do they tell you is being done about it?
Hog farmers are being really careful because, of course, if they don't have it, they don't want to get it. Craig Rolls runs a large hog operation in the Carroll area, and his pigs are clean right now. He wants to keep it that way.
We're much more aware of the potential for a contaminated object like boots or tools from a pairman. We're much more cognizant of any visitors that are coming to the farm because we just can't take the chance of exposing them to this disease.
So, Sarah, what could happen?
Well, for Rolls' case, in his case, he says about $200,000 of loss per sow barn. So these are the barns where the pregnant pigs are kept and give birth to their piglets. If all of those died, that would be a close to $200,000 loss. He has three of those barns, so close to $600,000, and that's just for one producer.
Also, there was a deadly train oil derailment up in Quebec. You reported on this, and we learned it killed dozens of people. Curious how that impacts Iowa. How often and how common are trains carrying oil?
More and more trains all across the country carrying oil, crude oil. U.S. railroads used to pull fewer than 10,000 carloads. That was in 2008. That number is up to more than 233,000 as of last year.
And so what's behind that?
Well, the fracking boom. You know, the upper Midwest, North Dakota, and some surrounding areas, a lot more crude oil coming out of there because of hydraulic fracturing, getting to oil deep underground. That has to go somewhere. Most of the refineries tend to be on the coasts, including eastern Canada in this case. And there's not enough underground pipeline capacity yet, so it's ending up on the rails.
So is there one method that's safer than the other?
That is definitely being debated.
Okay.
Several experts I talked to said that pipelines seem to be more economical in the long run, but safety is a concern. As with any mode of transportation, trains can derail, oil tankers can spill, pipelines can burst. And of course, Clay, one of the biggest debates over pipelines has been happening here in the Midwest, the Keystone Pipeline. You know, that route would be proposed to go right through our neighboring state, Nebraska. It's been a hot issue there and will likely continue to be.
Sarah McCammon, our normal Morning Edition host, I'm filling in for her while she's on assignment with Marketplace. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Clay.
And we also want to encourage you to join our Public Insight Network. We'll throw a link up on our website and on our Facebook page. It's a way for you to lend your expertise and experience to some of our reporting. This is Morning Edition on Iowa Public Radio.